Well, in the last few weeks, I've officiated at 7 different funerals or memorial service, and we have another one Monday evening. And this is far beyond the norm. It's usually 1 or 2 a month. And I was telling my brother, who's a volunteer firefighter and paramedic, about this. He's in the practice of saving lives. And he asked me, he said, "Mark, does this ever weigh on you emotionally?" And I thought for a moment, and I said, "I wouldn't use the word weigh, but it does impact you emotionally." I said, "I've never been able to disconnect myself from people that I'm ministering to, be it a funeral or a wedding or a baptism or counseling, that I've always found myself personally impacted by the experience of doing life with people." In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So I find myself doing this when officiating at funerals, especially when I know the person well or I've had a connection with them over time or have walked with them through their illness. While I may be the officiant, I find myself among those who are grieving. And sometimes when I don't know the person very well, I spend time with the family members and hear a lot of the stories, and I get to know about their departed loved one through their eyes, and it touches me. And I still find myself grieving their loss and am impacted. And I've never been able to shut that off. And I never want to. In our scripture reading for today, it's a story of both grief and loss, of friendship and healing and hope. And our scripture reading starts with Mary and Martha, who live in Bethany and are some of Jesus' closest friends. And they send word to him that their brother, whose name is Lazarus, is desperately ill. "Please come, we need your help. Hurry, he's sinking fast." But by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus has died and has been in his grave for 4 days. And Mary and Martha come out to meet Jesus, and they express their grief. "He's gone. We've lost him. Oh, Lord, if you could only been here earlier, our brother wouldn't have died. You could have healed him." The family and friends have gathered, and they're in deep sorrow. And they begin to weep over the loss of their loved one, Lazarus. And the heart of Jesus goes out to them. And it says, Jesus wept with them. He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha. And he openly shares with them in their grief. I want to stop this story here for a minute. And I want you to pay particular attention to this. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. It's actually the shortest verse in all the Bible, John 11:35. 2 words. And if you're ever asked to memorize scripture, here's a good one to start with. John 11:35. Jesus wept. We all can do that, right? But more important than its brevity is its meaning. Here is Jesus, God incarnate, God in the flesh, the very Son of God, and he cried. God cried. And in this act, Jesus is showing that he is not distant nor disconnected. God cries. God loves. And that the heart of God is moved by our pain. Bill Ritter, who was a former pastor at First United Methodist Church in Birmingham, Michigan, and a good friend of mine, once told a story about a minister who came out of seminary ready to be super preacher. And Al and I both said we knew those folks in seminary. We, of course, were not like that. But he told about this guy who was very confident and even cocky. And he just knew that he single-handedly could solve the problems of the world. He had been trained and he was well-prepared and he was assigned to pastor this small congregation. And he had no doubt that his scholarly sermons would soon bring revival to this small town in Virginia. He had all the answers, and he was ready to pour them out on his new congregation, and he did. And the months passed quickly into years. And he kept hammering this congregation with his theological knowledge and wisdom, and it didn't seem to go very far. Then one morning the phone rings, and the father of his board chairman had suddenly died. And he walked to their home, and as he did, it hit him. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm their pastor, and I don't have nice, neat little answers. What am I going to do? He was freaking out. And he tried to remember the class he took in pastoral care and what they told you to say. And he tried to recall appropriate scriptures to quote. And he tried to think of some profound theological construct that might help these people in their hour of need. And he drew a blank. Don't know what to do. And then finally, as he's walking, it comes to him, I know what I'll do. I'll take charge here. I'll gather the family in the living room, and I'll quote the 23rd Psalm. And so that's what he did. But there was one thing that this young hotshot preacher hadn't counted on. When he got to the home and he gathered the family in the living room, he looked at their faces, and their pain became his pain. He suddenly realized how much he loved this wonderful family, and his heart was broken too. He was overcome with emotion. And as he tried to quote the 23rd Psalm, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," and he broke into tears. And he cried so hard that the family had to rush over and console him. And they helped him over to the couch, and they gave him a cold cloth to wipe his forehead and brought him a glass of water. And this young pastor was embarrassed and ashamed. He thought he had failed miserably. And he was humiliated. He found a way to get through the funeral. And then he immediately called the district superintendent and said, "I think it's time for me to go to another church." And for various other reasons, he was transferred. Well, several years had passed. And each year, as Methodists do, they gather at the general or the annual conference. And he would see this family at the annual conference, and he didn't want to face them. So he would hide, or he would avoid them. And then one time, he came around the corner, and there they were. He ran smack dab into them and couldn't avoid them and couldn't hide. Their faces lit up when they saw him. They ran over to him, and they hugged him, and they said, "We're so glad to see you. Our family loves you so much. We miss you. We talk about you all the time. We love all of our pastors, but you're the one that helped us the most." And the pastor's like, "Huh? Really?" The young pastor said with genuine surprise, "Wow." And they said, "You know, we'll never forget how you came and cried with us when Daddy died." There's an important lesson here. When people are in grief, they don't want theological pronouncements. They just want us to come and love them and to be present and to be connected, to be dialed in. They just want us to weep with them and rejoice with them. Jesus wept with those he loved, and he still does. He hurts with us. He feels our pain. We all face suffering at times, and when it comes, one thing we can know for sure is that God is with us, that God is not distant nor disconnected, but that God weeps with us in our pain and rejoices with us in our victories and our triumphs. God does walk with us in the valleys and in the shadows of death. God does walk with us in green pastures and beside still waters. And God has the ability to restore our souls and to resurrect our spirits. So Jesus goes to the tomb to see his friend Lazarus with Mary and Martha, and he weeps with them. Then Jesus approaches this cave-like tomb, and he says to them, "Roll back the stone." And Martha, she can tell you what she thinks. She's shocked. She said, "Lord, we can't do that. He's been in the grave for 4 days now, and there's going to be a terrible odor." And Jesus says to her, Martha, only believe and you will see the power of God. So they roll the stone away and Jesus cries out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And incredibly and miraculously, amazingly, before their eyes, Lazarus is resurrected and comes out of the tomb. He's still in his grave cloths, and his head and feet are wrapped with mummy-like bandages. And Jesus then turns to the friends and family and says to them, unbind him, let him go, unwrap him, and set him free. Now, there's three things that I hope you'll take away from this story today. And the first we've already talked about is that God is present and connected, that God cares, that God weeps with us and rejoices with us. Second is that God is in the resurrection business, that God is about taking that which seems dead and hopeless and bringing new life. Nothing is hopeless. God is in the business of bringing spring into the lives of our harsh and cold realities of winter. One of the funerals that I officiated at last week, I heard a story that deeply impacted me, and I asked the family if I could share it, and they agreed. Many of you may know Jeanette Brown. Jeanette was born in Austria, in Vienna, Austria. She was married. She had a young son when World War II broke out. And both her father and husband were killed in that war in action, leaving her alone and widowed with an infant son. Several years later, she ended up marrying an American soldier and moved to the States and settled in Syracuse, where she gave birth to a baby girl. And just before her daughter's fourth birthday, there was an accident, and we didn't go into all the details, but her daughter ended up drowning. Can you imagine? She became very angry at God and bitter at God. I mean, to lose a father and then a husband and then a daughter within the scope of just a few years was way too much to bear. And she shut down emotionally. And she raged against God and against life. She closed her heart to God, vowing never to allow God in. But then on the anniversary of her daughter's death, she was startled awake, sensing there was someone standing at the foot of her bed. And she was shining in spirit form and radiant and free. It was her baby girl. She looked like an angel. And then she spoke. She told her mom that she was with God, and she was happy, and she was at peace. And then she conveyed to her mom that it was time for her to let go of her anger against God. At that moment, this woman's heart broke wide open, and this immense grief that she was carrying was finally allowed to be released. A dam had been broken. In this profound process of letting go, she finally found it in her heart to forgive God. And she opened herself to the divine healing of God's presence. As I met with her family, her daughter told me that that experience changed her mother forever. That it gave her mother a faith that was strong and unshakable for the remainder of her life. I've never experienced anything like this, but I know more than a few people who have. And I deeply believe that God is far more present in ways we cannot understand or comprehend, that God has a way of resurrecting and renewing our hope even when we walk through the darkest of valleys. God has a way of turning our tears into triumph. I believe that. Third and last thing I hope you'll take with you today is God often brings his hope and healing through us. Notice what happens when Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Jesus turns to his family and friends and says, unbind him, let him go, unwrap him, set him free. I really think that other people play a role in unbinding us and setting us free. I really think God uses other people in his process of resurrection and renewal, that we often find God's healing and hope as God's Spirit works through the lives of people he places around us. One of the reasons I'm such a big believer in small groups in a church is the impact that we can have on each other's life, especially during times of trial and temptation. We need people who will rejoice with us and weep with us, and God often works through the people he places around us, so don't shut the door on people God may use in your life. A few weeks ago, I mentioned this before, a friend of ours came to town from a former congregation, traveled to Syracuse with his daughter, spent some time with us, and it was hard to believe it was 20 years ago. He had gone through some very difficult times, which led him to walk through the doors of our church. And when he was in town, he told me on how being a part of a small group in our church literally changed the trajectory of his life. On the outside, he was doing really well, sports medicine physician, highly successful, and he said, I was in an attitude of devastation, defeated, disillusioned, and I looked to the future and I didn't see anything, just pain. He said, I was immobilized, like all the life had drained out of me, and he said, but God brought me back to life. And it was the church and the small groups who walked with me every step of the way. You know what he was saying? He was saying, God brought me out of the tomb. And my friends helped to unbind me and set me free. They supported me. And together with the grace of God, they loved me back to life. From death to resurrection, from grief to joy, from tears to triumph, God is with us. And God raises us up. And God uses us as his body to unbind and to set people free. Let's pray. Lord God, never let us forget. Never let us forget that you were there. In the valleys, on the mountaintops, and everywhere in between. Raise us up. Resurrect our spirits in time of despair. Surround us with and use us to be people whom you use to unbind and set people free through your infinite love and grace. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.